So good morning, everybody. You're all very welcome this morning to the house. It's great to see everybody here this morning, and great to see so many new faces also in the house. If you're new with us for the first time, please stay around and get a cup of tea with us later. It's on the house. Myself and some of the leaders would love to meet you. So this morning, I want to bring God's word this morning. Up to last week, I didn't know what I was going to preach on. And then on Monday, then the Lord just dropped it into my spirit what I was to speak on. And for some of you that were in the rally call last week, you probably heard this story, but I'm going to share it again. And Marcia, you can put the slide up. Can we see that? Okay. Well, the title of my sermon this morning is Don't Look Back. Don't Look Back in Anger. That was an Oasis song, isn't that right? Yeah. Well, we're not talking about anger this morning, but we are talking about is don't look back, and it's from Philippians 3, 13 to 14. But just let me share a little story before I get into the word. Last week, I met a woman called Sally, and if you can see in that picture, it's the woman in the middle of myself and another woman there. She's wearing a red and white top. But this woman, Sally, she's from Coventry. And when I was at a park run in Malahide. I do a 5K sometimes. But anyway, yeah. So I was at this park run and this woman was there with a few of her friends. And so I'm running along the course, running around Malahide Park and actually dragging myself around Malahide Park. And I noticed this woman. And she was only about that height. And I kept looking at her, and I was very much drawn to her. And I kept looking at her, and I kept saying, well, if she can do it, I can do it, you know. And I began to pray for her, and I began to ask the Lord to bless her. I began to release blessing upon her. And eventually I got to chat with her. And me being me, I began to ask some questions. And some of the questions that I asked her was how old she was. She was 77 years young. She had been running for 33 years. And out of those 33 years, she completed 27 marathons. Out of the 27 marathons, three of them were in Dublin. One of them was the Millennium, and I can't remember the other two. She also did some in New York and also in various parts of the world. This woman was an inspiration that morning to me. She was a survivor of cancer. She had one kidney. She had a broken leg, broken toes, other ailments that she had got along her life. And I said to her, I was just blown away by her. I said, what's your secret? What keeps you going? And she responded to me and she said, life. She said, life is what keeps me going. You have to keep going. That's what she says. And it's just like that song that we sang about climbing the mountain. We have to keep going as people. You know, for Sally running around that course, it was only a 5K run. I felt like the hunchback, honestly, dragging myself around the course. But this woman just, you know what, she just glided like a swan just around a 5K. And it just got me thinking. You know, for all of us this morning, one day our life is going to flash before our eyes. And I don't know about you, but when I look back on my life, I want to make sure it's worth watching. I want to make sure that there are many more Sallys and Marys and Jasons and Phils and Alanas and Annas and Jones and Christophers that run along this race with me. Equip me, that encourage me, that inspire me along this journey. I want to make sure I press on to reach the end of this race. And I want to make sure I receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus, has called me. So, Father, we come this morning. And, Father, we've sang about you in the house. Our aim this morning, Father, is to search after you, is to go after you, Lord God. And Father, for those that are here this morning that may be hanging on by a thread, Holy Spirit, will you come and begin to speak to them? Begin to show them through this word, Father God, that you're near, that you're in the race with them. The Lord is in the race with you. You know, I was very blown away by the marathon last week. Some of my friends that I run with were doing the marathon. But if you remember last week, the city was in chaos. You know, a lot of us couldn't get over. And it was a bit of an obstacle course to try and get over. But I began to think about athletes as they prepare for a marathon. They're very much focused, dedicated. They do a lot of training. They do a lot of working out. They eat a balanced diet. They make sure that they get enough sleep. But this is the one thing. There's a big sacrifice with running a marathon. The athlete will lay aside everything, every distraction. And the athlete will focus on what lies ahead. He's not looking back in his race. His eyes are very much on the prize. And as believers of God, we are called to focus on this one thing. Philippians 3 says, and if you have your Bible, underline this. It says, 3:13, it says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. You know, when we look back at the past, we lock God out of our future. When we choose to keep looking back, we do ourselves an injustice as people. And you can waste a lot of time and energy on what should have been, what could have been, and what might have been. Sometimes in your walk, you can feel stuck. Everything seems to be on hold in your walk. And sometimes you can feel that you're not moving forward. Have you ever felt like that? Sometimes life can seem as if it's being stalled. And you're just waiting on something to happen. But you don't know what. I remember we went to Rome, myself and my husband Stephen, last January gone. And we went on this 3-day city break. And on the last day, we wanted to just go back around doing some more sightseeing. And we had an early checkout out of the hotel. And I remember we had this luggage. And I remember saying, I'm not dragging that around the city for the day. There's no way I'm dragging that around. And I remember saying, Stephen, there has to be somewhere in the city where we can put this. So we go into the city. We go into the central, kind of like a station, a bus station, train station. If you've ever been in Rome, you'll know what I'm talking about. But there's all restaurants and shops and all that kind of thing. But anyway, we found this shop that was like a hold-all department where it takes in your suitcases. And I remember saying to myself, that's it, that's going in there for the day, and you pay a small fee. But it got me thinking about people's lives. Sometimes our lives can be in the hold-all department, and sometimes we forget to go back and check the bag out. Isn't that right? Sometimes our life can be sliding. You can feel as if you're taking one step forward, only to realize that you've taken 10 steps back. You're fearful of the next steps, decisions, or even of God. And sometimes as people, we even create our own stuck situation. Sometimes life can feel as if it's suffocating you. There's a lack of air to breathe. But literally, the lack of air means there's a lack of inspiration, there's a lack of motivation, there's a lack of drive to move you forward. As believers of God, our thinking matters. It matters to see the breakthrough and what's going to come and what God is going to do. Do we believe that this morning? Do we believe that God is the God of breakthroughs? There's four F's, and I did say the F word, but there's four F's I want to talk about this morning. And the first one is to be focused. Just like the marathon runner, we need to be focused. There's a great saying, follow your heart. There's so much truth wrapped up in that little statement that even the Bible talks about it. And I think we have the scripture. It says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. You see, as believers, our heart is made to follow the ultimate treasure. The ultimate treasure is Jesus. He's the only one. He's the only way. You see, Jesus can give you a heart to understand this life that you're now living in. When he is our aim, he will give us an understanding not to chase the treasures of this world, the things of this world that have no value on them. There's a woman in the Bible that I was reading about, and this woman lost her focus and she lost her way in life. And this woman, she was married to Abraham, his nephew, Lot. We don't know this woman's name, but all we know is that she's married to Lot, and Lot is the nephew of Abraham. But this woman lived in a city, and the city was called Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a city that was full of destruction. It was a city where the people's hearts were far from God. And her heart was very much focused on the treasures of that city. You see, this woman, she allowed the environment of that city to shape her. Instead of her shaping the environment of the city for God, she allowed the city to shape her. This woman began to blend in with the crowd. And here we have God reaching out to give this woman another chance. You see, because of the prayers of Abraham, God was willing to save Lot, his wife, and his family from the devastation that was going to come to that city. You see, God being a merciful God and a patient God, he was willing to allow enough time for Lot and his family to escape that city before it came under destruction. And that's how God is with us as believers. He's so patient, he's so merciful, he's so kind that he gives us enough time to make changes in our life. But you see, Lot and his family, they were given one instruction by the Lord, just one instruction. And that one instruction was, don't look back. Don't look back. Do not look back to what was, what should have been, what could be. Don't look back. But here we see in this story, it's in Genesis, Lot's wife actually turned back. She turned back and she focused on the city. And because of her actions, she was turned into a pillar of salt. You see, this woman was clinging on to the things of the past. She wasn't ready to let go of her old life. This woman, her heart was very much caught up in the treasures of that city. This woman put her focus in the things of the city instead of putting her focus in the things of God. You see, this woman didn't put her trust in the future of what God had for her. When I think back on my own life, I'm so thankful to God. He brought me out of many, many situations. Many situations of having to leave friends and people behind in my life. Wrong friendships. Family members. Possessions. Toxic relationships. You see, if I'd have stayed there, they'd have caused me a lot of destruction. But God was merciful. God was patient. God was kind. He was in the waiting for me. The truth about looking back at our past And the past doesn't have to be 5, 20, 15 years ago. The past can be 6 months ago. The past can be last week. When you look back, sometimes the past can become a place of comfort. It can become a place of solitude, and it can become a place that it's familiar territory. Even though it's not easy. Just like when you watch an athlete preparing for a marathon. Did you ever notice the adrenaline that's in them? The anticipation that's in them? They're standing on the starting line. They're waiting on the sound of that gun to go off. The adrenaline is pumping. They're ready to go. They're ready to be like a gazelle. Is that the word for a deer? Yeah. But you see, an athlete, they're not focused on the other runners. They're not focused on what's going on in the crowd or what's going on all around them. They're focused on hearing that sound and getting ready to get over that start line. You see, they're fully focused on what's ahead, what lies ahead. And what lies ahead is the finish line. And it sounds strange, but as leaders, and being in this ministry for nearly 20 years, I've seen time and time again where people will turn their focus to go back. To go back to the past. To go back to that place, to blend in. To blend in with the crowd. To blend in that toxic relationship. To blend in those situations that are not good. Abusive homes. Immoral lifestyles. Because it's familiar. And it provides a place of a false sense of security. That's what it provides. You see, Lot's wife, she paid a heavy price. And this woman missed out on God's plan. She missed out on God's plan for her life. You see, Lot didn't. Lot was able to retrieve the promises of God. The problem that many of us can face is that Jesus doesn't actually have all of our complete attention. You see, the more we focus on the things in our life, or when we look back, we miss the goal of the finish line. We stay stuck. We stay stuck in the hold all department. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes God can bring you into that place of being stuck because he wants to do something in your life, or he wants to get something out of you. But sometimes we just stay stuck because it's familiar. It's familiar territory. We're fearful for moving on to the next thing that God has for us. So the second point, the second F is be forgetful. You know something? Most of the time I do forget people's names. So forgive me. And I call people the wrong names. Or do you ever walk into a room and you forget what you walked in for? All the time. But sometimes that kind of forgetfulness, it can be embarrassing, can't it? But the kind of forgetfulness that Paul is talking about in Philippians 3:13, it's a good thing. It says forgetting the past. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. You see, here was Paul. He had done a lot of things in his past that he had reason to be ashamed of. It tells us in Acts 7 and Acts 8 that Paul was a persecutor of the church. He nearly destroyed the Christian church. Paul was also part of the death of Stephen, the first Christian martyr that was stoned to death. But here we have Paul. He realized when he came to Jesus, he could actually do nothing about his past. There was nothing he could do. The only thing that he could do was repent. Know that he was forgiven. accept that he was forgiven. Forgive himself and move on. And move on from the past. You see, Paul's greatest goal was to know Christ. His greatest goal was to be like Christ. Jesus said it in Matthew, no one can serve two masters. It was a goal that Paul had that drove him and motivated to know Jesus more every day. And this is a goal and an instruction from God. For you and for me here today. Every day when we get up out of the bed, Lord, I want to know you more. You see, Paul hadn't arrived. Paul hadn't obtained everything. Paul still had struggles and obstacles and setbacks and roadblocks and whatever you want to call them, roadblocks along the way. But the one thing that Paul aimed for was to know Christ, was to make Christ his all in all. So how do we measure if we are reaching this goal in our Christian walk? I've been in sales for probably about 20 years of my life. And part of my job is to hit targets. So last year, the target would be different than this year. And that's how my job is measured. It's measured on targets, on how well I perform and how well I succeed. It's the same for a marathon runner. When a marathon runner is in the race, if he's done the marathon last year, he wants to know what his PB is. And his PB is his personal best. So he will check what his personal best is. And when he goes to do the race this year, he wants to win his personal best, what it was last year. He wants to measure his success. He wants to aim higher to get his time lower than what it was last year. Reaching any goal in life is to be able to measure progress. Paul tells us he pressed on to hold, to take hold of Jesus. He pressed on. He pressed on to take hold of him. And when he pressed on, he experienced freedom. He experienced joy. He experienced this, living this out every day. He pressed on to have the same attitude of Jesus. When he was faced with trials, he pressed on. He had the same attitude Jesus had when Jesus was faced with trials and tribulations on this earth. And how you measure it will be when you're going through a storm or going through a trial, if you have the peace of God in your life. When the storm is raging, if you have peace in that, that's how you'll know that you're pressing on with God. So how do we determine how much we have grown spiritually? Well, you'll know by how much time you spend in the Word, in your prayer life, in your fellowship with other Christians. By how much fruit you're bearing in your life as a believer. Does your life reflect the fruit of the Spirit? Fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Does your life reflect that? I'd like to say I didn't always demonstrate self-control in Jesus. That's why I'm back running, because my waistline would prove me a liar. I would like to say I didn't always handle every situation with kindness and gentleness of Jesus. But the truth is, some people can bring you down. I'd like to say I didn't always demonstrate the patience of Jesus, but the truth is, bad drivers actually drive me nuts. You see how much I need God every day? You see, like Paul, I've not achieved all this. How about you? I have one heckler in the front. This is why I know I need to press on. I need to keep running this race to reach my goal to know Jesus more every day. And the third F is be faithful. Paul was determined to press on. He was determined to pursue the prize. He was determined to obtain it. See, pressing on towards the goal, you're not turning back. You're not looking back. You have no regrets about the past. You're staying faithful to the very end. You know, throughout church history, there are church roll books that are filled with the names of people who have started the race, but they haven't finished the race. The flame has died out. And I know there's many of us here that know people that have started this race, but the flame has died out. And I want to encourage you this week. If you know those people, send them a text. Send them an encouraging word on Facebook. Tell them you miss them. Tell them to get back in the race. And the fourth F is be a finisher. See, it's not how you start the race, it's how you finish the race. Amen. John Stephen Aquari, what a man. What a man. He came in 2 hours after the marathon was finished. And after the 2 hours, there was reporters and people interviewing him, you know. And his goal was to finish the race. Is your goal to finish the race? Is your goal to go after Jesus? Is your goal to aim for the prize? Is your goal to get back on the course? If you've fallen off the course, is it your goal to get back in? Is it your goal to be like that marathon athlete? To be focused? To be forgetful of the past? To be faithful? And to be a finisher? You see, God is looking for people like that here today. And if you have fallen off the course, it's not too late. Stephen Aquari came in 2 hours later. How much more patient is our Heavenly Father? How much more? How much more patient is He? God has not given up on His people here today. God sees your stuck situation. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. And when you choose to glance back at the past, use it as a measuring tool to see just how far God has brought you today. You see, God can turn your pain into the greatest gain in your life. When you glance back at last year on how much you've grown spiritually, use it as a measuring tool. And if you haven't grown, it's not too late. God is in the waiting. God is here today. And if you've detoured off the course, welcome back, brother and sister. Welcome back. And we're going to play out a song. We're just going to open up the altar. It's between you and God. And you can just come and worship. And amen. Let's stand.